Go to securefreedomradio.org today. It's your freedom. It's your country. Frank Gaffney's Secure Freedom Radio.
Welcome back. We are joined by Bill Gertz, the man who gives us an inside look on what's going on inside the ring, the title of his prize-winning column at the Washington Times. He is also the senior editor at the Washington Free Beacon, an indispensable online resource. He is also the author of seven, count them, seven best-selling books, including most recently, iWar, War and Peace in the Information Age. Bill Gertz, it's good to have you back as always. Thank you for joining us.
Hi, Frank. Good to be on the program.
Bill, you led your Inside the Ring column this week with a very troubling account of a study by the Rand Corporation indicating that the United States might not win the next war. I'm sorry to say that I fear many of these conclusions spring from the kind of information Dakota Wood at the Heritage Foundation shared with us recently about the appalling lack of readiness and modernization and training of our military, and therefore its preparedness to deal with the kinds of threats that are emerging now. We'll talk about those more in a minute, but give us a sense of this RAND study and how grim is the forecast.
Well, yeah, I was really surprised. This is RAND is a serious think tank which does a lot of government contracting work, and this is a study that was looking at the U.S. military's force structure, which has always been designed to fight two regional conflicts. And the study concluded that the structure that we have, the Army Combat Brigades, the Air Force Fighter Squadrons, the Navy's carrier strike groups, Marine Corps amphibious, are poorly structured, and so poorly structured for the current environment, which is the rise of China, especially in the Indo-Pacific, and Russia in Europe, that the conclusion was that they're so poorly structured that if there were a conflict, the U.S. would lose. And that is certainly a stark assessment, I think. I'm sure the Pentagon would take issue with it, and I was unable to get their comment on it, but it's certainly worth bringing up the debate about how the U.S. military is structured, and certainly Congress should also look at it.
Well, I think structure is part of it, Bill, and it seems to me that if you drill down further, you do get to some of these other issues that Dakota was talking about, which just exacerbate the problem, the lack of readiness and the degree to which we really have let our adversaries steal a march on us. In fact, you have a piece about how Russia is expanding its nuclear forces dramatically. And again, I don't know that most Americans are aware of this. I'm not even sure the president of the United States is, that they now seem to be poised to break out of their arms control agreements. Talk about what on earth that's about.
Yeah, this was an exclusive that I did for the Washington Free Beacon, which looked at basically what the U.S. intelligence community's assessment is, that by 2026, Russia is on track to have 8,000 warheads. Now, the New START Treaty, which was signed in 2010 by Russia and the United States, limits both sides to 1,550 strategic warheads. So where are the other thousands of warheads coming? Well, the Russians have figured out that low-yield and very low-yield nuclear weapons, which used to be called tactical nuclear weapons, when combined with precision-guided missiles, have almost the same impact as a large strategic warhead. So basically, the Russians are breaking out of the arms control constraints of the New START Treaty. They've already violated the Intermediate Range Nuclear Forces Treaty. So it's clear that the U.S. Has a big problem to face in nuclear deterrence. This is all part of a nuclear posture review, which is expected to be made public next month when the president gives his State of the Union speech.
Yeah. Well, let's hope that it mans up to this threat, which doesn't even take into account, in terms of what we've just discussed, at least, hopefully the NPR does, what the Chinese are doing in a similar vein. Bill, you also had an interesting piece about, and we've discussed this a little bit in the past, the Chinese use of what's now being called sharp power, not to be confused with soft power, including in the space that you've covered so brilliantly in your book, iWar, the information battle space. Give us a sense of how that complements and makes even more dangerous what the Chinese are doing in the old-fashioned military buildup as well.
Yeah, this was a another Free Beacon story this week. The Congressional Executive Commission on China, which is one of the two Congressional China Commissions, held a hearing on Chinese influence operations. And this is a really important look at what the Chinese are doing around the world and in the United States. And it's a fairly alarming picture in the sense that the Chinese are literally buying up former government officials, they're buying up industries, they're using cash to influence the media. We've seen that in Hollywood. It's a full court press on the U.S. public opinion. And, you know, as I've written in IWAR, the U.S. is largely unaware of this effort.
Let alone fighting back. Yeah. No, you know, it reminds me, Bill Gertz, you know so well, the book issued in 1999 by two People's Liberation Army colonels, Unrestricted Warfare. This is unrestricted information warfare, it certainly seems. And it's, I'm afraid, having an effect. Fortunately, at least so far, according to your reporting, Bill, Guo Wengui, an important defector from the communist apparatus and business community, has seemingly, the government here, the Trump administration, has spurned Chinese demands that he be deported. Is that right?
Yeah, this was based on a background briefing with a senior Justice Department official who said that the Attorney General has reviewed the case and doesn't see any grounds for extradition, which is a good thing because Guo, this dissident billionaire, has been the target of a massive Chinese influence operation, which has included hacking against U.S. institutions, against his lawyers, has used the use of businessmen to lobby as high up as the president himself. And so they've looked at that and they see that this is clearly not a legal matter, but a political case involving a dissident who is opposed to the regime. You mentioned fighting back against these. Now, the good news is I had a piece today and also in the Free Beacon, which previews the Trump administration's new national security strategy. One of the four pillars of that strategy is expanding American influence. It recognizes this huge gap that the U.S. is facing in information attacks from countries like China and like Russia and the Islamic State. And it's calling for the United States to develop those capabilities. I talked with someone in the White House and immediately was able to get them a copy of my book, IWAR, which contains a number of really revolutionary proposals for fixing the shortcomings in the information sphere.
Well, I hope that they will be adopted as part of the implementation of this strategy, Bill Gertz. I don't know if you've seen the strategy just yet or whether, like the rest of us, you're going to have to wait until they issue it next week, I guess Monday, but we'll look forward to talking with you about its contents afterwards. The thing that I've been struck by, and I really appreciated your reporting on this at the Free Beacon today, Bill Gertz, is that it sounded an awful lot like candidate Trump's national security strategy. And I'm just regretful that we've seen the better part of a year lost when it seems as though there hasn't been much of a strategy at all, or if it has, it's not certainly been the one the president enunciated as a candidate. Your thoughts on that?
Yeah, I think this strategy is very important in that sense. This is the White House laying down markers for the agencies that, again, have been dominated by either Obama holdovers or bureaucrats who are resisting the president and his policies. So I think it's this strategy will be a little different than the most recent Obama strategy, which was pretty much boilerplate stuff that really didn't have a sense of returning and resetting American foreign policy. The idea of the strategy is that it will set the tone for the policies that will be developed so that the White House can go to the State Department, they can go to the Pentagon and say, here's what our strategy is. You develop policies that fit that strategy.
Yeah, well, let's hope they do. They may need some new management across the board to do that. But Bill Gertz, it is a heartening sign. We'll look forward to your analysis of it as well as the chance to talk with you again next week. In the meantime, be well, my friend. I hope all of you will join us again next week as well. Monday, same time, same station. Until then, this is Frank Gaffney. Thanks for listening.
From the nation's capital, you've been listening to Secure Freedom Radio with Frank Gaffney.